We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Because there's totally girls who are like, my boyfriend's amazing. And then you meet him and he's like a vanilla ice cream cone. Yeah. And you're like,
I'm so happy for you.
He's so nice.
Yeah, he seems smart.
Like, wow, he's definitely
a man,
a guy.
Yeah,
he's here.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
I don't know why I whispered my name.
I'm Amelia Sampson. It's a good whisper name.
Amelia Sampson. Yeah, it is.
Mine's not as good of a whisper name.
Elizabeth Ball.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. Spooky. How do you feel when guys don't post pictures of their girlfriend on social media?
I don't know. Like, I would say, when I was younger, maybe I would think that was sus, and maybe it was sus, but, mm-hmm. like, the older I get, the more I'm like, I don't know what their relationship looks like. Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, with my relationship, I used to post pictures of him constantly, and then I just stopped, because, like, we were together for over 7 years, so mm-hmm. I was just like, I already know that we're together. I don't need to be posting you, like, every week, but it's just, like, I think once people are dating for a long time, like, they aren't constantly posting each other. Yeah. A lot of the time I've heard, like, couples will post each other a ton on social media when they're, like, overcompensating, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know. It's, like, there's so much gray area. It's, like, what is the amount of time where it's, like, appropriate to stop posting your significant other?
I think at the beginning it's, like, cute.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Like, it always feels good. Yeah. Like, the first time, like, they post a picture with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you look good in the picture and they, yeah. like, tag you in it, you're like, oh.
You want to show me off?
Yeah. Now everyone's going to know that I'm your girlfriend. Yeah. That's cute.
That's what I mean. It's, yeah. like, early on in the relationship, like, I don't know. I see a lot of couples posting each other a lot. And it's, yeah. like, they're so excited about it.
When he posted a picture of me on his story for the first time, because I hadn't posted a picture with him yet.
Yeah.
And then he shared a picture of us together on his story. And I was like, aw.
Yeah.
I'm in that picture.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
People know
that's us together. That's cute.
That so many people saw that, like, who is that?
Who is that?
Who is she?
No. No,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay.
How do they clean fleshlights? Do you just, like, fill it up, just, like, put soap in it, shake it up, and then pour it out, like, how you clean, like, a blender?
Put it in the dishwasher.
Can you?
I don't know. Like, because I can't even,
Somebody else is unloading the dishwasher for you, like. Why does this flashlight look like a vagina? And why'd you put a flashlight in the dishwasher? I have questions.
If you're listening to this and you or your significant other uses a flashlight, please let us know how you clean it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can Google it. I'm going to Google it.
How does one clean a flashlight?
I'm going
to Google
it in incognito.
Because I can't even put my, I use a menstrual cup. And you can't put those in the dishwasher.
Oh.
So my old one I had put in a dishwasher.
Melted.
And it didn't melt. It just got a really weird consistency and, like, was, like, unusable. Oh, Amelia's face is completely appalled.
So the topic of this, of this article is how to clean a fleshlight and avoid mold.
Ew!
How to clean a fleshlight.
Well, what is the inside of a fleshlight even like?
I think that it's probably like...
silly putty?
I think that they try to make it as, like, authentic feeling as possible. So, like, I think it must be, like, like, what's the closest, like, silicone, maybe?
It has to be ribbed.
Okay, so...
oh, our vagina's ribbed.
I mean, like, have you ever fingered yourself?
Yeah.
It's, like, a little, like, rough. You know what I mean? Not, like, rough, like... but, like, you know what I mean? It's not, like, super smooth.
Wet and gushy.
Okay, you can clean your toy in your kitchen sink, bathroom sink, or even your bath, depending on your preference. The kitchen sink is probably easiest to work with, as they tend to be deep and are designed for standing up and washing things, but I understand that some people don't like the idea of rinsing jizz into the same place that they wash their plates. But, like, also... Oh, okay, I see. So, one, remove the sleeve from the case and separate the two. I didn't realize it was a two-parter.
Wait, can you show me a picture?
I mean, this is the picture.
Oh. The picture is a woman wearing...
a kitchen glove.
A yellow kitchen glove. give your fleshlight to your girlfriend to clean it for you. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't want to fuck you anymore. Because you make her clean your fleshlight.
She said, I would rather clean this fleshlight than have sex with you. Now take the sleeve and hold it upright under the tap, allowing warm water to run through the orifice, i.e. the part that you fuck, and exit through the bottom end of the sleeve. So I guess there's an opening when you separate the two? That makes sense.
I need to see the components of a flip. I need to Google this.
Okay, after rinsing for a while, plug the bottom end of the toy with your finger and fill it up about a fourth of the way with warm water. Okay.
Components.
Oh, yeah, so I was right. With both ends covered, shake the sleeve up and down and side to side with your hands. See, I'm just... second nature how to clean a fleshlight.
Because you've been working out.
Yeah. That's how they got the shake weight. Yeah, that's how they got the inspiration for a shake weight. It's cleaning fleshlights.
The look of fleshlights, like, I don't know why, it just makes me uncomfortable.
Fleshlight. Are you incognito so you don't get fleshlight ads?
Oh, no. Whoops.
Oh, my God. Ugh. Oh my God, they have butthole fleshlights. I didn't know that.
Is that called a bussy?
Oh my God, I don't know, but that's amazing.
Here, wait, let me look up Urban Dictionary.
There's a Four Loko fleshlight for all the bros' needs.
That is nauseating.
It's $69. This has to be a joke. Nope, it's not. Fleshlight.com.
Oh my God.
Ooh, this one's called the Pink Lady. It's a classic. I'm learning so... oh, here it is. Here's what the inside looks like. No, there's no way.
Why are all... is there a black girl fleshlight? Like, why are they all white?
I don't know. They're all pink, yeah. Oh, this is what the inside looks like. So it is, like, supposed to be...
I hate that, like, you can biologically spread it. I'm upset. Okay, wait, yeah. Bussy. Slang term for a gay man's butthole. A butt pussy.
Wow.
Bussy.
Oh my God, I hate everything going on.
What? Tell me.
They have, like, mouth versions.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
What the f-
I did not know that.
Oh no.
There's no way, because, like, the best part of giving head is using your tongue. So, like, that can't be, you know what I mean? It can't be, like, as fulfilling. It can't feel as good. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't have a penis.
Why is this so upsetting?
Wow, there are so many penises on this Google image search.
Hold on, let me go into private mode.
Have you seen those super realistic sex dolls?
Yes, I hate them.
Oh my God, Liz. Oh my God.
No!
It's a foot!
No!
It's a foot with a vagina where the ankle is.
It's a fleshlight, guys. That foot looks way too realistic.
There's no way.
Guys, this is a... it is a fleshlight, but it's not a flashlight. It is a fucking foot. And it goes slightly above the ankle, and it's a vagina.
Oh, my God.
It's a vagina with a clit. Oh, my... no!
Are you kidding me? It's real bad.
If you can think it exists.
Yeah. That's so true. Wow, there's multiple versions of it.
Wow.
Ew, this is fucking horrible. Like, I never, ever want a kink shame, but, like, this is, like, very disgusting. That just looks like a severed foot. Oh, my God, I'm so...
Okay, thank God. They do have a black girl fleshlight.
Good.
But it's just, like, yeah, how come when you search fleshlight, they're all white?
This one has... Oh, it's a gag gift. I'm like, they have hairy fleshlights.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What's wrong with having hair where it's supposed to grow?
Right. It's like the hair is there for a reason, but it's listed as a gag gift. Giftgag.com.
I mean, that is very long.
It is. But then there's this one. I'm learning so much about fleshlights today. Oh my God.
How come sex toys for men are so much cheaper than sex toys for women?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Liz. Oh, I lost it. God damn it. Where did it go?
No!
Steve Harvey fleshlight.
It is a mouth with a mustache.
That's amazing. No, but that's so true. Women's sex toys are so fucking expensive.
Yeah.
They're so expensive.
Why?
I don't know.
It's called the pink tax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Society is mad at you for having a vagina.
I was looking for pens the other day, and the pink pens were listed as for her and were like 50 cents more. Yeah.
Why?
Pink pens. I know.
God. Anyways.
That's why I drink.
Yeah.
These have the best.
They have such
the best
a great
open sound. I also don't need to be drinking another one, but here we are.
Here we are.
It's been a long fucking week. It's Sunday. It really it's the first has. Day of the week. It's been a week.
I would say the first day of the week is Monday.
Yeah?
Yeah, Sunday is the day that you're sad and you feel anxious about having to work on Monday.
Sundays are weird for me now because we're not going to the office. So I'm just like, tomorrow's another day at home.
My miserable day work-wise is Tuesday. One of my project managers dubbed it Terrible Tuesday for me.
This fucking sucks.
I know.
Ugh, I'm so sorry.
You know, it's temporary.
It is.
Being alive is temporary. And you know what? That makes me kind of happy. It's relieving to know that...
I don't agree.
It's relieving to know that the eternal suffering of being human will end.
Oh my God. I hate the idea of dying.
I just want to vibe. I hope when you die, it's just... You're just vibing. You're just vibing.
Somebody, when I was... scrolling through dating apps for the last time, somebody's answer was like a shower thought I recently had, and it was like, death is gonna be just like it was before you were born.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa.
Hits blunt.
yeah. I'm like, I don't really want to. I don't think, because now I know what living feels like, and I'm not really into the idea of dying. It's not at the top of my list of things to do.
Sometimes I like to think that, like, when you die, it's just what you think it's gonna be,
which is nothing.
It's just straight vibe.
Just straight vibe in.
I hope it's like a really good shroom trip. Forever.
Interesting. What if it's like just like a whole Interstellar moment? You're just like chilling behind the bookcase, like haunting the people that you love. Pushing books out, trying to say something in Morse code
to
your daughter.
The ghost that haunts me is just me.
Yeah. Whoa. What if
fucking
it is?
Fucking what?
Did you watch Haunting of Hill House? You don't like scary things.
Nope.
I don't know.
It's been a long time since I've given scary movies a go, so. Yeah,
I think that you would like Haunting of Hill House just because, I mean, it's very scary, but it's beautiful. Like, it's, and I don't want to talk about it because I want you to watch it, and I'm sure people are going to start watching it for the first time because a new season is coming out, but it is phenomenal. So I wanted to talk about, because I've had this conversation with a lot of people about when it's okay to end things via text versus when it's more appropriate to end it in person, because the threshold is so different for so many people, but I don't know what that threshold is. Because sometimes I'll end things with guys that I'm seeing over text, and it's just, like, so easy and smooth, and then there's other times where they're like, wow, I would have appreciated a conversation in person, and I'm like, I didn't realize that we were at the point where you would, like, care, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know, I guess a good place to start is like, how do you, what's the feeling that you get when you decide that it's more appropriate to end it in person? Like, do you have like
that's a good question,
markers?
Well, I've ended like, you know, just like kind of when you're, like, seeing someone, but you're seeing multiple people, mm-hmm. you're just, like, dating around.
Yeah.
I've ended a few of those things via text, mm-hmm. and that's been fine. But I ended my last relationship in person, but we were together for 9 months.
Yeah, and so. You were, like, you would call him your boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But since then, you haven't had any conversations in person with people you're seeing?
No. I think that when you say people have been like, oh, I would have appreciated a conversation in person, I think there are a few different things that could go into that. Like, we trust each other to, like, be candid and transparent about our feelings.
Yeah.
So if a guy has, like, intense feelings for you and isn't telling you that, and, like, maybe is trying to play it cool or mm-hmm, something. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you supposed to know that?
Right. I'm not a mind reader. Yeah.
And another part of it could be, like, pride. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel, like, embarrassed by the rejection or hurt from the rejection. So they're trying to, like, bounce back by making you feel bad.
Yeah. And, like, save face. But then yeah, it's, like, if we exactly. had the conversation in person, my guy, you probably would have been mortified that I was doing that face-to-face, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, like, I'm just trying to help you. I'm doing this for you.
Help me help you. Yeah. I feel it's more of, like, a feeling for me, like you mentioned, like, how do you, like, what is the feeling that you have when it's okay to end something in text? And I would say if we've established from the beginning that this is just going to be a casual thing, then it's okay to end it via text.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, I've been thinking this just, like, isn't working for me.
Yeah.
And I think most people are pretty receptive to that. Like, as long as you're considerate of their feelings.
Right.
And
you're like, just, like, ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
It could have been worse.
We've said this so many times, but ghosting is, like, the worst thing you could do.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredibly inconsiderate.
Yeah, just talk about it.
Right. It doesn't matter how many, even if it's just been one date, don't ghost. That's just, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I don't know. I recently ended a situationship via text, and Liz knows all about this. I always feel really awkward telling you these stories, looking you in the eye like I haven't told them to you before. But I recently ended this situationship with this guy who I, like, liked. Like, I...
Yeah, you were pretty excited about
him. I was. I kept saying to everyone, like, this is the first person I've dated since my ex where I'm like, oh, this could, like, actually be, like, something that I could commit to. Because there are zero red flags. And I'll get into this later in another episode. All of the red flags that came out literally within 10 minutes of one another. But I was really excited about him because I couldn't point out anything. I was like, there's nothing wrong with him. We're super compatible. We both, like, kind of want the same thing. But then we had a plan to hang out a fourth time, and it was, like, on the heels of a very bad third date. Very bad.
Yeah.
Probably the worst date I've been on.
It was, I don't want to be dramatic, but I feel like it was a little catastrophic.
Oh my God. It literally could not have gone worse. And
when again, you were like texting me about it, so Amelia and I will send each other voice notes if it's like too long to text a story. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was.
I was with my boyfriend and I was like, gather round.
Story time.
Let's listen.
It was.
And my boyfriend, even my boyfriend was like, what?
Yeah. I have never felt more gaslit by anybody in my entire life on this date. It was.
And it's like he's not even good at it.
No. It was like he was projecting his own feelings about a situation on my reaction. And so he was like thinking that I was saying stuff that I wasn't even remotely saying. And this is vague because, like, I told him I wouldn't talk about it, and I want to see if he's still listening before I do.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it high level. Because also, it's your life. You're allowed to talk about your life and your experiences totally. The way you felt them. So.
Absolutely. It would just be easy to talk about it if I could, like, provide a little bit more color. But just know that it was pretty bad. And
and we'll talk about it eventually.
We will. But yeah, so, like, he was just, like, basically making me feel like a really bad person and, like, putting words in my mouth that I wasn't even close to saying. It was one of those situations.
And in general, you and I have talked about this before where there are, like, some people who where you're like, oh, I just really love cats. And then they're like, so you think all dogs should die?
Yes.
And you're like, What? No.
Yeah, I didn't.
I didn't even.
That is exactly right. That is.
I hate people who, like, try and argue like that. You're like, yes. You just want to be upset about something.
Exactly. I was like, I don't even know what I'm apologizing here for, because, like, I didn't say what you're accusing me of saying. Like, I can't even back out of this because I didn't say it. So, like.
I said what I said.
Uh-huh.
And I meant what I said.
Uh-huh.
There's no subtext here.
No. No. And so, he, like, brushed it under the rug and we moved on from it. And then I was like, wait, like, we can't move on from this because it was such an explosive conversation. So I brought it back up and he was like, oh, no, I feel fine. And I was like, okay, but I want to talk about it. And then he just unloaded on me about how I'm an awful person. And I, like, stigmatized things that he had told me about himself when I definitely did not. And, like, it was just.
And it was so far, like, it was completely uncalled for.
Yeah.
And it was so out of pocket for him to accuse these of all of these, like, things that you never said.
Yes.
And don't believe.
Right.
Especially considering we have so publicly addressed some of these topics mm-hmm. in this podcast for anybody to listen to.
Yes.
So.
Exactly. And I think that he was playing up on that fact, knowing that the things that he was talking to me about are things that I'm very passionate about and passionate about being supportive of. And it was like he was playing up on the fact that I pride myself on these things about, like, being open and, like, listening to people and being empathetic about things that they've gone through. And usually when I have an argument with someone, I'll reflect. And a lot of the time I can figure out ways where I was wrong, you know, like, mm-hmm. okay, like, I did, you know, I could have said this differently, or I could have. And in this conversation, I couldn't have. I led with empathy. Like, I was so patient and listened to him when he was talking, and he just exploded on me about shit that I did not say. So I brought that up and he was like, I think that you care more about being right. You don't really care about how I feel right now. And I'm like, okay, if you're gonna think that, then, like, I think that we're, you know, done here. So at the end of the conversation, he unfollowed me on Instagram without even telling me that he, like, didn't want to talk to me anymore. I'm like, you were 30 years old. Like, so I texted him again. I was like, is that your way of saying that you're done with this? Because I would appreciate a conversation. And he was like, I don't know. If this conversation is any indication of how we discuss things, then I think that we don't have a future.
He hit that on the head, though.
Yeah, that's true. I'm like, you are completely right. You're 100% like, right.
If you're anytime there's conflict, this is how he's going to handle it.
Yeah.
And
I don't want
that's not worth
no
anything.
I'm the kind of person that I need to have a conversation right when there's conflict and I need to squash it. And he mm-hmm. just wanted to brush it under the rug. So after I agreed with him, he texted me and he was like, oh my God, I'm so happy that we talked about this. I feel so much better. When can I see you again? I was like, never.
Are we living the same timeline?
Yeah. I'm like, are we in an alternate reality from one another right now? Because, like, that is not what I got from this. And then he got on me a little bit about being a bad texter and saying that he, like, needs to know where I am all the time. And I'm like, I've known you for all of 10 hours.
I'm making, like, a very appalled face. My eyes are wide, guys.
It was shocking.
Oh my God.
And then at the end of it, I didn't text him back because I was like, well, you're gonna learn today that I just don't care enough to text you back. And then I texted him and I was like, hey. So the point of this story is I texted him last Tuesday and I was like, hey, like, I really liked you, like, you know that, but, like, I think that this is probably not going to be good for either of us, and I don't want to waste each other's time. And he was like, yep, completely agree, had a good time with you. And that was it. And I was like, okay, easy peasy. So that was the end of that. But, like, if we hadn't had that argument and I wanted to end it, I probably would have had the conversation with him in person, because, like, up until that point, I had a lot of respect for him. I wanted to, like, honor, you know, this connection that we had, and I probably would not have felt good ending it via text. But even at that point, we had only seen each other 3 times. So it's like, is it the amount of times you've seen each other that tells you if you should break up with them in person or on text, or is it the connection that you have? And I think that it's different person to person.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's connection-based.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of where you're at with each other, so.
Totally. Absolutely.
But I also think, if it's casual, then that could be something that is worth ending in text.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even when you talk about ending something in text, like, remember when the comedian tried to end things in text with you?
Oh, yeah.
But that was, you guys were seeing each other, not exclusively, for 9 months. Yeah. But he at least owned up to the fact that he was like, yeah, I misstepped here, like, he was trying to open the door to a conversation that he wanted to have, but ended up, like, I think that is a lesson that we all should take away is, like,
yes,
you can try and, like, allude to in a text message that you want to have a serious conversation with someone, but just know it's, you can't do that. It's going to happen, like, yeah, right then and there.
100%.
That's exactly what happened with, like, the last guy I dated. I had ended things via, like, in person with the last guy I dated, and our friend Madison, I was, like, telling her that I was, like, you know what, I think, like, this is kind of over, like, I'm not into this anymore, and this just isn't the kind of relationship I want to be in. And it's not anything, like, bad, it just wasn't the right relationship.
Yeah.
And she, I was, like, I think I'm gonna see when he's free, and then I'll, like, have the conversation with him and break up. And then she was, like, I think that if you ask if he's, like, if you try to make these plans, like, it's just going to happen today.
Oh, yeah.
And she was absolutely right.
Yes. Because it's like, well, I don't want to stress out about what you have to say to me. So, like, let's do it right now.
Yeah. Her, Madison and Molly both said the same thing. It was so funny. And that's because I, like, texted him and I was like, hey, are you busy on this day? And he was like, yeah, but I'm going to be watching a game. Or, like, no, I'm not busy, but I'm going to be, like, watching this game. And I was like, okay, well, I want to talk to you about something, but I don't want to talk to you when you're, like, going to be distracted. And then he immediately freaked out.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, well, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I just want to have this conversation, like, face-to-face. Like, I don't want to have it via text, but I just wanted to, like, make sure, like, I wanted to see what your schedule looked like. And then he was like, well, can we talk about it now? And I was like, fuck. And I was like, I guess I'll walk over to your house.
Oh, my God. But that's kind of good for you, too, because it's like you don't, like, get built up, too. So it's like, all right, we're doing it now. You just got to do it now.
And I, like, immediately started crying so much because it's hard breaking up with someone.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I've broken up with someone since high school until that point. Because in other circumstances, it's just kind of been, like, a mutual understanding. Like, I would say I've had a handful of breakups where it's, like, we agree to break up. Mm-hmm. Has been 2 or 3 of them.
That's so nice when it turns out that way.
Yeah.
It's so rare. It's, like, amazing you've had that
many. Well, I mean, they ended up not going too great, but but still.
Yeah.
Like, when you end a relationship with that headset, like, that mindset, like, oh, I did not get dumped, like, I had some agency in the breakups.
Where do we work?
An agency.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it hurt a little bit less. I think the first time that I had a successful breakup where it was mutual was with the comedian, because we had a lot of respect for each other, and we had set boundaries early on, and I let him know, like, the second that these boundaries stop working out for you, like, let's have a conversation about it. And so when he texted me, and he was like, these boundaries aren't really working for me, that's, like, all I needed to hear, and so we just had the conversation on text, and I was pissed. Because I was like, he was like, well, you wanted me to give you a heads up when I started feeling like that. I'm like, but you were feeling like that for a while and didn't say anything to me, and now you just told me that this isn't working, so, like, we have nowhere to go from here. Mm-hmm. So we're just doing this over text, and I was pissed, because I was like, we have so much respect for each other. I've been seeing you for 9 months, you know? Like, we are casual, but, like, I don't know. He was, like, my fave. So, like, I was just like, I'm like, why are you doing this over text? But it's so true. I was seeing a guy. I wasn't really seeing him. It was, like, a weird situation. But we fought a lot, and I always wanted to have the conversations in person because I fucking hate text conversations. I just hate text conversations, period. It just feels very juvenile. And so I'd say, like, can I come over and we can chat? And he'd be like, you know that I don't like when you do this. Like, what do you need to chat about? And I'm like, well, if I do this, we're going to do it over text. So I'm just going to wait until I come over so we can have a conversation. No, you know that I don't like that, Amelia. And so then I would let him know what I needed to talk about. And then he would just be like, thanks. That's all I needed to know. And I'm like, you couldn't have just waited for me to come over and have this conversation with you? So it's like trying to navigate just how much people want to know via text before the in-person conversation, or if they just want to have it over text, or if you just don't say anything and bomb them when you go to their house.
Honestly, I would say conversations, it doesn't matter if they're hard to have. I think they're, like, if they're hard to have because you're not seeing eye to eye, some conversations are hard to have because, like, you really like them and you don't know how they feel about you.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not just because you're having a breakup, but I think they're always best handled face-to-face. So I think regardless of what you're talking about, if you know it's going to be something that involves, like, big feelings, you know it's going to be hard to have.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know how the other person feels or is going to feel.
And you can't escape. You don't have time to think about what you want to say in response in person, too. So it's mm-hmm. just, like...
Exactly. You can't, like, plan ahead what you're going to say.
Right, you can't, like, send, like...
You can't, like, draft it up yeah, in your notes.
Send it to your girlfriend.
Rearrange.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, okay, what's the flow of this paragraph?
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. I just, like, it. I'm such a, like, talking on the phone gives me anxiety because, like, I need to see people's faces. Like, I need to, like, feel the energy from people when I'm talking to them because it's, like, I don't know, it, like... propels me forward in the conversation, you know? It's like how I progress is so determined by like how much I think they're engaged in the conversation, like the body language that they're giving me. Like I kind of like adjust on the fly for that reason. So if I can't like see how they're reacting or what their face looks like, it's the same thing on text. It's like you can't get tone on text. Like I have to talk about shit in person. Like I freak out when I can't. So, yeah, I mean, like, I guess it's different when it's, like, ending something with someone, though, because, like, if you aren't that serious, it's like, can you meet up so we can talk? And then you meet up and they're like, why the fuck did we need to do this in person? Like, we weren't that serious. So mm-hmm. it's, like, trying to find that middle ground of, like, when do we talk about things in person? Like, when do we talk? Like, I don't know. It's a puzzle I'm trying to solve. I really don't know. But I have that conversation a lot. A lot of my girlfriends are like, I don't really think I want to see them anymore, whoever this is. Like I don't know how to end it, and it's like, well, like, I don't know, I guess you just like feel it when it's like something that's okay to end over time. I do not know. So I guess the answer is it depends.
Yeah.
which is hard.
The last time I was broken up with was over the phone.
That's the worst.
How long were you seeing him for? It was Shoeman.
What?
Well, he didn't live here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
But still.
I didn't realize it was over the phone. That was the first time I bonded with you.
Yeah.
It was during your breakup.
Yeah, Amelia bonded with me. Was it when we went to Winterfest?
It was, we were watching a Seahawks game in a bar, and you were crying at the table, and
oh, people shit, were around right. you,
and I was like, oh my god. And it was, like, right before me and my ex broke up, so, like, I knew, like, how hard that was. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how, that sadness.
I totally forgot about that.
And then I pretended I had to go to the bathroom so that I could follow you to the bathroom. I was like, oh no, is she crying? Is everything okay? Like, talk to me. Everybody leave the bathroom. I need to talk to her. And then I found you in the bathroom at Winterfest. And
drunk on the floor.
Yeah. You were sitting in the bathroom. You're like, I think I just threw up.
I don't remember.
And then you and I just sat on the floor and
it's
chatted.
It's a mystery to this day. That's not the first time. You guys, I drank a lot during that breakup. Well, also, like, that breakup for me was, like, college part two. Like, you know, I ended this relationship as I was moving to Seattle. Like, I had just gotten here. He was supposed to move out here with me and changed his mind. And then, like, obviously, I was devastated. I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
But then also, I was really excited because I'm in this brand new city. There's so many hot guys here, and they're all, like, not all of them, but so many of the boys here are woke as fuck, guys.
It's so true. It's nice being in a liberal bubble.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It has changed my life.
Yeah, I bet.
So, like, just, like, being on the light rail and, like, being away from my ex, like, while we were still together, like, just being away from him and, like, walking around and seeing all these hot guys, my sex drive increased by a million, just, like, not being around him, which is crazy.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a sign.
Everyone else saw the signs before I did.
Right. I mean, it's always, like, so much easier to tell from the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Because when you're in it, it's impossible to, like,
yeah.
You know that things are wrong, but it's like, but I have all of this color that other people don't have, which is true.
Exactly.
It's like, people are only ever hearing the very, very good and the very, very bad of everyone's relationships. So then, like, whenever you're like, oh, I want to be back together with them, it's like, but they were awful. And it's like, no, but there's, like, also really great stuff. You're just hearing the really awful stuff because I need to vent. You don't get it. But, like, in that situation, it really did sound like there was just, like, a lot of stuff that you were like, because you loved him, you were, like, willing to see past. And it's so much easier from the outside to recognize that that's what's going on. And in hindsight, too, because now you're like, what the fuck?
Well, and then your brain does gymnastics to try and, like, hide the bad things.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this before, but my friend whose wedding I'm going to be in, well, she was like, yeah, if you guys got engaged after you moved to Seattle, we were going to have an intervention.
What? Yeah. I don't think you told me that.
Oh, okay.
You might have.
She, yeah.
Holy shit, can all you imagine?
Being sat down and be like, this guy is not the
your
guy for
literal
you.
Fiance is not who you should be with.
I don't even know what I would do.
That'd be hard.
Yeah.
Be really hard.
I'm glad that we broke up and I started going to therapy.
Yes.
I think the hardest part about going to therapy is, like, being aware of things in the moment. Because then you're like, wait, I can see this happening right now in front of me. How do I handle this?
Mm-hmm. It's like the self-awareness is almost like a curse.
Yep. It's a blessing and a curse.
It really is. It's like, fuck. You're get, like, to save yourself a lot of trouble, but you also are able to identify things.
Like, something small so happens more. And you're like, wait, I'm annoyed and I want to be passive aggressive about this. Why do I even want to do that?
Yeah.
This is completely unwarranted.
You have, like, a sit-down, like, chat with yourself.
Yeah, and then you're in your own head with your brow furrowed and you're just like, why do I feel this way?
Uh-huh.
I guess if I really have to make myself think about it, I could go back to when my parents...
Yes. Oh, my God. Being able to dig into your... Oh, my God. That's
the
so
worst.
True.
It when you, really, like, trace really it back and you're like, God damn it. This is totally because
this
of something
my childhood.
Yep.
And then it's like, fuck, now I gotta do work. Get myself out of that headspace. I know. But it's like, future you is gonna be, like, so lit.
Yeah.
I'm saying you, not just you, but, like, and when you, like...
Future anyone.
Future anyone, when you're, like, able to... Like, yeah. When you're able to focus on, you know, the things that you have to, like, untangle from your past, now it's gonna pay off in the future.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why I stopped dating. Oh, yeah. Fun. I've decided to not be on dating apps anymore.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you so much.
This is a huge step.
It is. I realized I jumped into dating pretty quickly out of my relationship for multiple reasons that I will not get into. But most of it was distraction. And it was good for what it was. And now that I'm realizing, like, it's not fun anymore, and, like, I don't want to be distracted. I want to be able to, like, work through, like, the trauma and sadness from that breakup, which is going to be hard. It's going to fucking suck, because
yep.
I'd rather not be sad, but
same.
I need to just, like, take a little hiatus, and, like, I'm still seeing Music Man casually. He's, like, not trying to wife me up, which hurts a little bit. Because he's fantastic. I'm like, are you sure you don't want to marry me, like, tomorrow? Because, like, I can get a dress.
I know.
No, but, like, all jokes aside, like, it's nice to have, you know, somebody that I can still, like, hang out with and, like, have it be super casual. But, like, it doesn't feel appropriate to be seeing people and have me be like, I'm actually not looking for anything. Like, I don't know what you're looking for. It's, like, unfair for them. I don't want them to think that I'm just trying to, like, fuck, you know? So I think I need to do a little bit of time to myself. I was also comparing everybody to my ex, which is mm-hmm. natural and normal and not fun.
Nope.
Fucking sucks. So, yeah, I'm just gonna, like, I don't know how long it's gonna be. Like, maybe it'll just be, like, 2 months, 3 months. Who
I'm
knows?
So excited for you.
Thanks.
My only advice is, like, there's gonna be, like, a point where you... So I had done this where I was like, I'm going to intentionally not see anyone for at least 6 months.
Yeah.
Because our friend Madison had also done that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I really think you should do this. And then I was like, after I ended things with, like, the last guy I dated, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm allowed to faith. I was just like, yep, I'm just going to take this time to myself. But about, like, halfway through those 6 months, I started to kind of feel panicked. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm, like, running out of time. I have to go find someone that I want to marry and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, after I was able – there was some other shit that I'll talk about in the future that was going on during that time, too, that made me especially feel that way. And then once I was able to, like, see my therapist, we were able to work through it. And then I continued to go on this path of not dating for, like, 4 more months, 5 more months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And it was great.
I don't, but I'm just
there's
like,
always going to be a hump where you're like, I have to rush. I have to get back on dating apps. I have to go find someone.
That's the thing. Is like,
and then I did not, I ended up not downloading any apps and staying on my path. I went on like one date and I was like, meh.
Like, I realized I was almost, and I don't regret dating as much as I did at all. Like, I learned so much about myself during that time. It ended up being a great thing for me. But I realized I was kind of like planning my life around what I thought my ex was doing. You know what I mean? Like, well, like, if he's dating, then like I have to date, like I have to win. And like, I didn't realize that I was doing that at the time. And now looking back on it, it's like, fuck, my therapist was always saying like, don't base your timeline around what he's doing. And I wouldn't even say that to her. And I was always like, you are like, you're just making that up. I'm like not doing that. But I was 100% doing that. And it was just like, when you're not dating really just for you, like that's the best time to just like stop. Mm-hmm. Because like I can't compare my journey to what he's doing. And I honestly don't know what he's doing. So it's like, what's the point of me trying to like match his energy? That's inappropriate and it's juvenile. And it was at the end of the day to make myself not so sad. Mm-hmm. And that is the worst reason to date. The distraction, I think, is good for a certain amount of time, but it has to stop eventually.
Yeah.
I'm worried about, I've never felt like, oh my God, I have to find someone to date, and like, or I have to find someone to marry, like, until recently. Like, when I turned 27, I was like, I'm getting to the point where I want to find a husband. And I've never felt like that before.
Yeah.
But I'm not emotionally ready to find my husband. So it's like, well, I got to put in a little bit of legwork to, like, well, love myself more than I think I've been treating myself like I do.
And it's hard to, like, you end up feeling that way, like, oh, I need to find a husband because of so many other societal factors.
Yes.
Involved. Like,
oh my God.
And it's hard to not compare yourself to your peers, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have peers getting married, having kids, and then you're like, college part two. You're like, should I be feeling that way? Because I don't.
Uh-huh.
Is something wrong because I don't feel that way?
Yeah.
And then you kind of panic.
Yes.
Because you're comparing yourself to other people.
That's not
and then
your journey. It's not everyone's
finally,
journey.
Yeah, finally, you're able to get to a point where you're like, because even if you're like, if you do try and like find someone to marry, like eventually that's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's always going to get to a point where you're like, okay, I can no longer sustain my life this way. I need to change.
Yeah.
My therapist and I always tell each other this. Like, I don't give her this advice, but she reminds me of it that I said this so many times. She's like, change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because change is very painful.
It is.
It's
I need
hard
to write that on my mirror.
It's hard to reprogram your brain and change your behavior and your reactions. So change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change.
Yes. I love that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, like, I'm still in love with my ex. You mm-hmm. can keep this in. And I think that that's normal for people, you know? Like, you, just because you break up with someone and even though it feels well-founded, like, I don't regret us breaking up. Like, it's what needed to happen.
Yeah.
But, and I am still in love with him. And so, like, I couldn't in good faith get into a relationship with someone right now knowing that fact. And so, like, I have so much, like, behind the scenes work to do before I'm able to, like, welcome that person into my life, whoever it is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's tough. I'm not looking forward to, like, having to call you at 3 a.m. sobbing. But, like, I am ready to do the work because, like you're saying, like, staying the same and doing what I'm doing right now is too painful to not do anything about it. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting journey.
Well, and I think it's normal to still be in love with your ex because that breakup is still kind of frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Because you put dealing with the breakup on pause. And obviously you've had, like, waves of it coming up and being painful to face.
Yeah.
But you've also, like, been dating and
mm-hmm.
you said yourself, like, as a distraction.
Yeah. It 100%
and
was.
When you do that, like, you do kind of put having to deal with a breakup on pause.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I love that, like, you knew that you could not be in a relationship in good faith because I did the opposite where I did jump immediately into another relationship. but everyone processes things differently. And I mean, I didn't notice in the moment that I was kind of using this relationship as a transition to be able to be on my own. Mm-hmm. But I do hate that, like, I had kept so much to myself to try and keep the peace between our relationship, to prove to myself that, like, I am lovable and I'm not the problem in a relationship.
Yes.
And it ended up blindsiding him when I broke up with him. Because I wasn't being myself in that relationship.
Yeah.
So I do feel bad about that because it kind of was at his expense.
And that's the thing is, like, I don't want to drag somebody down by me not being what I need to be. And it's interesting to hear you talk about that with your relationship because that's a lot of what the comedian was to me. And I didn't realize that, but, like, him and I fell into something basically right away. Mm-hmm. And he knew that I wasn't wanting to be, like, official with him or, like, committed and so, like, in the way that I wouldn't be dating anyone else. But what he showed me, and I didn't realize that this was the truth until after, was that I, like, somebody else can love me. Which, like,
I'm gonna cry.
No, it was tough to realize that because, like, of course other people are gonna love me.
Yeah.
It wasn't just my ex isn't the only person that's ever gonna fall in love with me.
Are we both gonna start crying right now?
Probably. I really don't want to because then I won't be able to stop.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump into
some Mary fuck kill?
I have a good one.
Ooh.
I was actually thinking about it.
I love that
home.
You're coming prepared for
I
am. This.
Well, I don't want to, because these are hard because we can't talk about, like, actual people.
Yeah.
I think we're eventually probably going to have to and then just, like, have for a disclaimer now, we that we don't actually want them to die. But, okay. It's also hard because we consume different media. So I'm like, well, what shows do we both watch? So, fuck, Mary kill. Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. Woody.
We're doing it.
Mr. Potato Head.
It's been a while since I've seen Toy Story. So I think I would fuck Buzz Lightyear.
Okay.
And then I would marry Woody.
Interesting.
Based on my recollection. Mm-hmm. And kill Mr. Potato Head.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just not attracted to Mr. Potato Head.
My whole thing about Mr. Potato Head is he is nuts about his wife.
That's such a good point.
He is such a dick, but he loves Mrs. Potato Head.
I do love that.
So, right. Like,
you're making a great case. I might change my mind.
I would probably marry Mr. Potato Head.
That's so true.
I would probably...
Oh my god.
I'd probably fuck Woody because he can, like, take control. You know what I mean? Like, he's the leader. Like, I want him to tell me what to do.
Okay, but what about the Spanish Buzz Lightyear?
Ooh.
Because Buzz Lightyear, like
when he got his settings flipped.
Yeah. He does love Jessie.
He does.
And Woody totally fucked it up with Bo Peep.
He did. But I'm not trying to marry Woody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to, like, one night stand Woody. And with a name like Woody, it's gotta be good.
You know what? You've convinced me. You've made me change my mind. Because I'm thinking about Mr. Potato Head being fucking stoked for Mrs. Potato Head. And you're lying if you don't love when your man hypes you up.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of your girls.
Oh, yeah. He's so protective of Mrs. Potato Head.
Like, if I post a selfie, he is going to respond like, yes, you look so fucking cute.
Yeah, right.
I'm so happy that you're my woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want that.
Everybody should have a Mr. Potato Head in their life.
You're so right. Mm-hmm. You're so right.
I'm feeling good about that.
Mm-hmm.
I've also had more time to think about it, though. I thought about it on my whole way over.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm feeling like that's probably
changed my mind.
That's probably the answer. I'd probably kill Buzz. I mean, I really love an astronaut.
I think maybe I'd fuck Buzz.
You'd fuck Buzz?
Yeah.
Spanish Buzz, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should we wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at @TheHolyHour. You can email us at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
Unless you're going to make a fake-ass email address.
Yeah.
Called just Anon.
Yeah, oh my god, you really cracked that code. That person that we were talking about last week, their email address is like a, like, kind of like a cryptic
it's
way
it's something
of saying
about being
anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't realize, and Liz texted me, she's
like,
I didn't realize till later
when I was, like, actually, like, looking at it and paying attention. I honestly think the person who made the fake email address is the same person who made the Twitter account to respond to me, who is clearly someone from my high school.
It's fucking ridiculous.
And I was like, damn, it's been 10 years.
Yeah, and you were really that affected by me.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I love that for me.
Although they didn't even try to hide it. Like they just chatting, speaking.
No, I think that they think they were slick.
A dumbass.
I know.
Let's see if they've tweeted recently.
Okay. Anyways, love you.
Love you. Goodbye. Thanks for listening.